Okay, so welcome to another deep dive. This time, we're tackling a pretty big one in the world of corporate law.
Yeah, this is a classic.
Miller v. Miller,
Yeah.
a 1974 case that really gets to the heart of the corporate opportunity doctrine and, those all-important fiduciary duties.
Absolutely. It's one of those cases that like every law student sort of grapples with.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And for our listeners out there trying to make sense of all this, Miller v. Miller, it's all about a family-run business, right? Miller Waste Mills, we've got a minority shareholder, Oscar Miller. He decides to sue his own brothers, Rudolph and Benjamin. His argument, well, he claims they basically took business opportunities that should have gone to the company.
Yeah, and the interesting thing here is the court actually sided with the brothers.
Which is why we're doing a deep dive today. We got to figure out why the Minnesota Supreme Court ruled against Oscar, the minority shareholder.
Exactly. So where do we even start?
Well, let's go back to the beginning. Miller Waste Mills. It all started with Joseph Miller way back in the 1890s. Humble beginnings. Started a waste business.
And then fast forward a few decades, right? 1927, the company is officially incorporated as Miller Waste Mills.
Packing waste and making wiping cloths. That was their bread and butter.
And then Joseph retires in 1940. Who takes the reins? His sons, Rudolph and Benjamin.
Okay, so now things start to get interesting, right? World War II happens.
Hmm.
Rudolph and Benjamin, they're entrepreneurial. They see some opportunities.
Unit manufacturing company, that's their first big move.
Started to handle government contracts for, you guessed it, small package waste, wartime needs.
But it didn't end there.
Nope. Unit manufacturing, they branched out, started making things like filter element socks
Right.
and filter element cartridges.
And here's the thing, Miller Waste Mills, they couldn't actually make those things. They didn't have the technology.
So it wasn't just a matter of like, oh, we don't want to expand in that direction. They literally couldn't.
Right. Completely different processes, different machinery, different expertise.
And then Rudolph and Benjamin, they kept going, formed even more companies.
The Miller Felpax Corporation.
Miller Lubricator Company.
Diesel lubricators, more filter socks. I mean, they were really diversifying.
And again, all this stuff way outside what Miller Waste Mills was equipped to handle. So, I mean, I guess the question is, was there ever a point where Miller Waste could have pursued these opportunities?
That's a key question. And the court, they definitely looked at that.
So we've got these separate companies popping up, run by the same guys in charge of Miller Waste. What was Oscar's problem? Why did he sue?
Here's the other big thing. Oscar waited 19 years to file his lawsuit.
19 years.
19 years. Businesses change, memories get fuzzy, documents disappear.
Which brings us to the crux of it all, right? The corporate opportunity doctrine.
Basically, this doctrine says that directors and officers, they can't just grab business opportunities for themselves if those opportunities belong to the corporation.
They have a duty to the company, right? To act in its best interest. That's the whole idea of fiduciary duty.
Right. You can't use your position to line your own pockets at the expense of the company you're supposed to be serving. And the court in Miller v. Miller, they laid out this two-part test to figure out if an opportunity is a corporate one.
So part one, the line of business test. Is the opportunity closely related to what the company already does or could realistically do?
And can the company even handle it financially and technically?
And this is where it gets really interesting, right?
Yeah.
Because it forces you to think about like a company's true potential versus what it's actually doing.
It's not always black and white.
So applying that test, the court looked at these opportunities, the filter socks, the diesel lubricators. They basically said, nope, that's not Miller Waste's line of business.
Their expertise was waste management, wiping cloths. They didn't have the factories, the knowledge to suddenly jump into these new fields.
But there's a second part to this test, right?
Yeah.
The equitable factors. It's not just about the opportunity itself, it's about the conduct of the people involved.
Rudolph and Benjamin in this case.
Did they act in good faith? Did they put their own interests above the company's?
I mean, it seems like there's a potential for conflict, right? Running
Yeah.
these separate but related businesses.
Absolutely. But the court, they found that Rudolph and Benjamin, they acted in good faith. There wasn't any evidence of them trying to hurt Miller Waste or hide what they were doing.
They weren't being sneaky about it.
No. In fact, the court pointed out that these other companies, they actually helped Miller Waste.
Now, so.
They created a market for Miller Waste's raw materials. Miller Waste was actually selling its waste products to unit manufacturing Miller Felpax, Miller Lubricator, and making a profit.
Oh, wow. Okay, so these separate ventures were actually benefiting the original company.
Exactly. It's a bit counterintuitive, right?
Yeah, it's like the thing Oscar was complaining about was actually generating revenue for Miller Waste.
And there's another piece to this equitable factors puzzle, shareholder ratification.
What's that?
The shareholders of Miller Waste? They knew what Rudolph and Benjamin were doing.
Back when they were setting up these other companies.
Yeah, and they basically approved it. It wasn't like this was some big secret.
So to recap, the court said the opportunities weren't really in Miller Waste's line of business.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they were, the brothers acted in good faith, the other companies benefited Miller Waste, and the shareholders were on board with everything. It seems like a pretty strong case against Oscar.
Yeah, but there's that other big issue we talked about, that 19-year delay. That's where latches comes in.
Okay, so latches. It's a legal concept that basically says if you wait too long to bring a lawsuit, you might lose your right to sue.
Even if you had a valid claim initially.
It's about fairness. Hmm. Memories fade. Evidence gets lost. It's hard to defend yourself against something that happened ages ago.
And the court, they saw Oscar's delay as seriously prejudicial to his brothers. After 19 years, witnesses might be gone, records might be missing. It's really difficult to put together a defense.
So even if there was some merit to Oscar's claim, the fact that he waited so long kind of sealed the deal. It really emphasizes the importance of taking legal action promptly.
Time matters in the legal world. You snooze, you might lose.
All right, so Miller v. Miller. What are the big takeaways for someone studying corporate law?
Well, the court's statement is key. The threshold question is whether the opportunity is a corporate one.
Meaning you got to prove that the opportunity actually belonged to the corporation in the first place.
And even then, even if an opportunity is considered corporate, it's not an automatic slam dunk. If the director acted fairly, was transparent, got shareholder approval, that provides some serious legal protection.
And Oscar's lawsuit, it wasn't just about the big ventures. There were those smaller things like the mop manufacturing.
The court saw those as pretty minor, not really core to Miller Waste's business. They were more focused on the larger opportunities and how those related to what Miller Waste could actually do.
And also Rudolph and Benjamin, they didn't use Miller Waste's resources to start these other businesses.
They were completely separate. No misuse of company funds or anything like that.
So summing it all up, what are the big three lessons from Miller v. Miller?
The two-part test for the corporate opportunity doctrine.
Line of business plus those equitable factors.
Shareholder ratification, getting that approval is huge. And lastly, latches. Don't wait too long to bring a lawsuit.
What's really fascinating about Miller v. Miller is that it shows how corporate law isn't just about these rigid rules. It's about context, fairness, the practical realities of running a business.
It's a really great case study for understanding how fiduciary duties play out in real life.
So for our listeners out there, deep in the trenches of corporate law, I want you to think about something. 1974, that's a long time ago. The business world has changed dramatically. Technology has exploded. How would this line of business test apply today?
It's a good question to ponder.
Think about how quickly companies can branch out now, how industries overlap, how new types of businesses are constantly emerging. And remember those timeless principles from Miller v. Miller. Good faith, timely action. All right, that's it for this deep dive. Catch you next time.
See you then.